Hosea chapter 7. Amen. Jen, this is their marriage license. How much would you give me not to turn it in? Can't believe a preacher being like that. My, terrible. Hosea chapter 7. Amen. The book of Hosea has got a lot of prophecy in it. And the Lord writes about a certain tribe called Ephraim in your Bible. And he writes about them and he talks about them. And Ephraim, and if you know your Bible, you know Ephraim is turned to idols. And the Bible says, leave him alone. That's in Hosea chapter 4. He says, Ephraim is turned to idols. Leave him alone. Just let him go. Let him go. And but in chapter 7, we'll read on down. It says, when I would have healed Israel, then iniquity of Ephraim was discovered. That's sad. That's a sad statement. I underlined that thing. It says, when I would have healed Israel, iniquity was of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they committed falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoil without, and they consider not in their hearts that I remembered all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about, they are before my face. He's a man, their own ways, their own doings has beset them, has put them back. They made the king glad with their wickedness and the princes with their lies. They are all adulterers, as an oven heateth by the baker, who ceases from rising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine, and stretched out his hand with scorners. For they have made ready their heart like an oven, while they lie and wait. Their baker sleepeth all the night. In the morning it burneth as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength. He knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. And the pride of Israel testifieth to his face. And they do not return to the Lord their God, nor seek him all for all this. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. When they shall go, I spread my net upon them. I will bring them down as the fowls of heaven. I will chasten them as their congregation have heard. Woe unto them, for they have fled from the destruction. They have fled from me, and destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. Man, that's pretty harsh words the Lord's pronouncing against Ephraim. They have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howled upon their beds, they assembled themselves for corn and wine. They rebelled against me. Sound like a bunch of partying going on. Though I have bound in the strength of their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return not. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword, for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt. All right, Father, I pray, God, now you just please help the message this morning. Help us, Lord God, to take heed to these things that the Bible says about Ephraim. And Lord, I love you. My Father, help us not to be that way as a church. Help us not to be that way as a family. Help us not to be that way, God, when it comes to individual loving you and putting you first. I pray for these young couples in the church. I pray, God, that they would love you. And God, they would do it with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And help us older folks do the same. Love you with all our soul, mind, and strength, like the Bible tells us. And I pray, God, that you'd help us not to be deceitful or drunken with wine and or just taking lax and when it comes to you and when they're honoring you. And I pray, oh God, now bless Faith Baptist Church, God. May Faith Baptist Church stand, still be standing for the old King James Bible and the Word of God and the preaching and the singing and the praising until you come. May Faith Baptist Church, if the rapture's not for another 20 years or 30 years, which I don't believe at, but I pray, God, help Faith Baptist Church not to go astray like Ephraim did. Oh, God, help us to stay true to the Word of God. And we'll thank you for these young couples, Lord. Help them to stand up and be the ones, even these children coming up behind. I pray, God, they would be the ones to pick up the sword or pick up the bow and not be a deceitful bow. But, God, pick up the bow and honor you and bless your holy name. And we'll thank you, God, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Bible talks about Ephraim. And Ephraim, you know, the Mormons claim they're from the tribe of Ephraim. That's a pretty sad thing when Mormons start claiming that. Go back in chapter 6 of Hosea and look at chapter 6 of see what it says in verse 10. He says, I have seen a horrible thing in the house of Israel. There is whoredom of Ephraim. Israel is defiled. Also, O Judah, he hath set a harvest for thee when I return the captivity of my people. And then he goes on, I would have healed Israel. So if you read your Bible and you'll find all these different sayings about Ephraim, go to chapter 8. Look to chapter 8 and verse 9. We're going to look at just a couple things to establish some things. For they are gone to Assyria, chapter 8, verse 9 of Hosea. They have gone to Assyria to wild ass alone by himself. Ephraim have hired lovers. Ephraim have hired lovers. Look at verse 11. Because Ephraim have made many altars to sin. Altars shall be unto him to sin. I mean, Ephraim, he's just going all out to sin against God. After all the blessings, all the things. And if you trace Ephraim back, it goes back to he's one of Joseph's sons. He's the second son. And he goes back, and Joseph, their mama was a princess, and she was from the priest of On and of Egypt. And their mama was, you know, she was, you know, worshiping false gods and all that when Joseph was down there. And I'm sure Joseph didn't, he had it in his heart to do right and honor God. But look at chapter 9. Look at chapter 9, and you what happens is with certain things in the Bible, you can trace it through your Bible and find out how it ends up for them. And the same way, I've been around here for 34 years pastoring. I've watched people's lives. I can just see their lives. I can see where it's going, and then I can see where it's going to end up. And I've been around long enough to see it. And it's sad. It really is sad. And the Lord's been around, and he sees this stuff. And I remember when I first got saved, I thought, man, I don't want to end up like that mess. I don't want to end up in a mess. I don't want my family to pay for the sins of my past or my present or my future. I don't want my family to pay for those things. It's so easy to get laxed in your love for God. It's so easy to get laxed in service to God. It's so easy to do it. I mean, you can go along in life and just kind of get, well, I've done my part, and I've lived for the Lord for 20 years, and I've done this, and I've done that. And you can start convincing yourself you've done enough, and it's all right. I can just live the way I want to do it. I can just kind of retire and just go on. That's not what the Bible teaches. I mean, when you get saved, you belong to God. You're in it for a lifetime. I'm in for the long haul, brother. I'm in the thing to serve God, and I don't want to quit because, all right, we've already had our children. Our children grew up. Now the grandkids, let them handle that. And it's not like that. It's not like that at all. This Christianity, serving God, is a lifetime thing. That's why the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, he present your bodies a living sacrifice. And you don't have no say in it. Ephraim, he says, man, Ephraim's just constantly finding a way to sin against God, even though they knew who the right God was. They knew who God was, and they knew. You know, Manasseh, he goes, when they come into the promised land, Reuben and Asher and Manasseh stay on the other side of Jordan, and they had their land, and Joshua said, all right, you all can stay here, but that's fine, but you men are going to have to come with us armed and help us fight. And they didn't end up taking all the land that they were supposed to take. They didn't take it at all. But then they go back and they build an altar on the other side, and then Israel hears about it, and they go over there, and they were getting ready to go war against their own people. I mean, they were getting ready to go war against Manasseh, and they were getting ready to go to war against Reuben and Asher, and they go over there, and the princes of Israel, the other 9.5, come over and say, what are you all doing building an altar? I mean, there's only one place to go worship God. And they put this altar up, and they said, no, we didn't do this for sacrifice. We didn't do that for that. We just did it to our children. And it almost caused a civil war between the tribes. And you know what they called that altar? I thought it was funny. I was reading through there. I've read it a couple of times. I started laughing the other day when I came across there. And they called it Ed. That's what they named the thing, Ed. What a name. And they named that altar Ed. And, you know, Mr. Ed, you know, remember the horse? But look in Hosea chapter 9. He says, in Hosea chapter 9, he says, they shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. Ephraim, man, I'm telling you what, Ephraim, and here you got a religion that claims they're from the tribe of Ephraim. Good night. I'll tell you what, if they read their Bible, they would know that Ephraim is not a good thing. That's not a good thing at all. I wouldn't want to claim Ephraim. It says the watchman of Ephraim, verse 8, was with my God. But the prophet is a snare of the fowler in all his ways. And hatred is in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves. As in the days of Gilba, therefore he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the fig trees of her first time, but they went to Baal-Perah and separated themselves onto that shame. And their abominations were according as they loved. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the birth and from the womb and from the conception. Though they spring up their children, or they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, that there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them that will depart from them. And Ephraim, as I saw Tyrus, a plant planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Give them, O Lord, what will thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breast. Brother, I'll tell you what, Hosea is pronouncing this stuff that God's telling him, and man, this thing is pretty harsh. Why? Because Ephraim turned their back on God. Ephraim ends up doing a lot of wicked things, and God judges them for it. And, you know, and look back chapter 7. Look what it says in chapter 7. I want to preach on this thought, Acts chapter 7. It says, Ephraim, verse 8, Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Now, you all know what a cake not turned is. It's half-baked. It's half-baked. You know what Ephraim was? They were half-baked. And, you know, 50-50 kind of thing. I don't know if you've been in a place where you've eaten anything. Like if you get a piece of chicken and it's half done, my Lord, it's terrible. You don't want to eat that thing. Make you sick. Or pork or anything else. I don't like to eat something that's half done. I want to eat something that's fully done. And God says, you know what Ephraim is? He's half-baked. He's not turned. And men, you get pancakes. I mean, you get a pancake. Can you imagine somebody, you go to a restaurant and they come out, you say, I want a stack of pancakes. And they come out and it looks good. And then when you get ready to cut into it, and the bottom side of it is just dough, white dough. And man, just every one of them, you say, wait a minute, something wrong with this. This ain't right. And I mean, you say, man, I'm not going to eat this. Take this back and get it done on both sides. And the Lord said about Ephraim, he said, they're not turned. They're not turned. They're not turned. They're half-baked. Ephraim is half-baked. I'm telling you, folks, God doesn't want something half-done. He doesn't want something. He don't want you to present yourself to him half-done. And you know what I find? I find a lot of Christians in churches today are 50-50. They're 50-50. You don't find very many Christians that are sold out. You know, the Bible talks about, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength. You don't find very many Christians just constantly sold out. If you do find somebody that they think they're sold out, they're always judging everybody else and putting everybody else down. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody just sold out, love God, want to serve God no matter what. Amen. They don't want to be 50-50. They don't want to be half done. They don't want to be half turned. They want to serve God all the way. And man, make up their mind. And that's what the battle is. The battle is right here. The battle is right in your mind. I'm glad. Thank God. When my wife and I got saved, I told her, I'm going to serve God. What are you going to do? She said, I'm going to serve God with you. And we made up our mind we wanted to serve God. You said, have you been 100% all the time? I'd be a liar to tell you I was. I'd be a liar to say that. But I thank God my wife made up,
with us together, saying we're going to serve God. We're going to do it best we possibly can together and serve God. You, Lisa and Jared, you guys just got married. You ought to make up your mind to pray together and serve God together. If you have children, raise those children together. You got young couples in this church, raise your kids for God. I mean, it's a work, man. It's a job. It's a job to do. I mean, when you talk about serving God, that's serving God is raising your kids right and living a testimony in front of them and doing the right thing no matter what, no matter what to, what's the circumstances are, just do the right thing. I mean, honor God always. He said, Ephraim, he's half turned. He's a cake, not turned. I'm telling you, the father said about Ephraim, he said, man, I'll tell you what, leave him alone. Just leave him alone. Just get away from him. He's just going to call. He's going to infect everybody else. You know what happens in churches today? You got Christians that half done or half turned. They affect other people. They get too lax in their life. They get lax in their service. They get lax and they affect everybody else. And you got some Christians, man, just gung-ho, wants to serve God. And, you know, you got others that say, oh, I don't believe all that stuff. I think, yeah, that's just it's crazy. I mean, you don't have to be that much gung-ho about serving God. You don't have to be that much gung-ho about witnessing the people. You don't have to do that kind of thing. I mean, you can look at me. Yeah, look at you. Amen. Look at you. Look what's happening. I made up my mind. When I went to church, I was sitting in church. I remember seeing some Christians. And I thought, man, I thought they were good Christians. Got around them and found out they weren't really what they said they were. You find a lot of Christians say they're serving God, they love God. You know, I just want to say I love the Lord. And then you get around them for a while and you find out they really don't love God. They really don't love God like they say. I've been around Christians that, man, they talk about how much they love the Lord, and then all of a sudden you hear cussing and carrying on and fighting and arguing and, man, all kinds of mess going on. You wonder, what in the world? What in the world? You know what they are? They're half-turned. They're half-turned. You know, Ephraim said, well, God, you know, God, he's kind of, you don't have to really listen to what everything God said. I mean, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, he gave them strict orders. He gave them strict orders. Joshua had strict orders. He even put the curses and the blessings upon them. He said, this is going to happen. If you'll do this, this is going to happen. If you don't do this, this is going to happen. And man, I tell you what, it happened. It happened. And Ephraim went off the other way. Ephraim made up his mind. I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe mama has something to do with that. Maybe going back to mama. And to get to the place, well, you know, I was talking to a Christian last night. His wife turned the kids against him, and he tried to live for God, and she turned the kids against them. And man, the kids don't want nothing to do with God. They don't want nothing, the grandkids don't want nothing to do with God. They don't want nothing to do about serving God. They don't want nothing to do with church. And they're just out drinking, they're out drugging, they're doing all that stuff. And it goes back to the home. You think about a guy named Achan in your Bible. Take your Bible, look in Joshua chapter 7. Here's a guy that was told, is like just like Ephraim. In Joshua chapter 7, they come out and Joshua takes over and they come to Jericho. And you know the great victory they had with Jericho. And man, what a great thing that happened in Jericho. I mean, the walls came tumbling down and all that stuff, and they got out there, and everything was going pretty smooth. Everything was going good. But there was one guy. He was half-turned. You know, the Bible says when they came out of Egypt, they had a mixed multitude. And what he meant by that was they had people that really didn't love Jehovah God, that really didn't want to serve Jehovah God. When they said, he said, let my people go, that they may go serve me in the wilderness. They had people that went along that really didn't want to go. They just went, and they went along just to mess them up. Yeah, just like Balaam. They went along just to mess people up. They were like 50-50, or maybe they were 20-80. I don't know. Maybe whatever they were. But they went along, and God says, that generation is going to die before they go into it because they came back with an evil report. And God said, that generation is going to die off, and then that other generation that they said they were worried about their women and children, they're the ones going to go in. They're the ones going to go into the promised land. So they go into the promised land. And they get into the promised land. They got a great victory at Jericho. What a great victory. I mean, that city was, man, it was indestructible at that day and time. They said no way that they could destroy it. No way that anybody can penetrate that city. Nobody. And Israel goes around it. Crazy thing. One day they go around, they just march around, keep quiet. They go around, then they go around 7 days, and they blow the trumpet, and everybody starts yelling, the wall fall down. What a thing. And then they come along, and they go along, and look at chapter 7, And it says, and the children of Israel committed a trespass and a cursed thing. I mean, God said, Jericho, everything in Jericho is going to belong to me. All the spoil of Jericho goes into the temple, I mean, the tabernacle. It goes into all the service of the Lord. And he said, but when you move on, everything else is going to be yours. So here they come, and they come out, and the Bible says, and Israel committed a trespass. You notice one man did it, but it says Israel. Ephraim is half-turned, corrupted the whole nation. You know, people in a church can mess up a church. One person can mess up a church. We've had it here. I've been here 30-some years. We've had one person cause havoc. One person cause mess. The Bible says this, and for Achan, son of, goes on down verse 2, and I'm for time's sake, and Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, and they said, let's go up. Just about two, look at verse 3. And the 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and not make all the people labor there hither, for they were but a few. So they went up hither of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them 36 men, 36 women, wives, 36 men didn't come home that night to their families because one man. Ephraim is half-turned, half-baked. Achan was a guy that just was not convinced what God said, what he meant what he said. When God said something, they didn't believe it. I mean, man, you're talking about the law, brother. The law was here. You know what happened? Achan ends up hiding, taking something from Jericho, a wedge of gold and all that stuff, hides it for himself. All he was concerned about himself. Achan was a half-baked soldier. He was in it for himself. All he was concerned about, what I'm going to get. He didn't tell his wife, didn't tell his kids. They're the ones who suffer for it. They suffer for it. Achan was a half-baked soldier who put himself before others. His covetousness was so strong, he showed, man, no concern, no remorse until he was caught. You know what? Some people, man, you get saved, they get on fire for God, they get going for God, and then, man, something happens in their life, and rather than turning to God, they'll turn to idols. Rather than saying, God, help me, I need your help, they'll go on in life and be just half-baked. They'll go 50-50. They'll say, God, I'll give you this, but I ain't going to give you the rest. God wants it all, folks, if you don't understand that by now. He wants all of you. He wants all of me. He wants all of our service. He wants all of our praise. He wants our worship. Now, God's not going to force you. Nobody forced Achan to go do what he did. God's not going to force you. You make a choice. People make choices. You know, when I preach funerals, I think about people make choices. When I preach sermons at places, people make choices. We all make choices. But you better make sure your choice is towards God. Make sure your choice, you prayed about it. And you know, people tell me, well, I prayed about it, preacher. But you never waited for an answer. You just pray about it and go on. Never wait. Never ask God for an answer. Amen. Achan, all he was concerned about was what was going to benefit him. What was he was concerned about was just himself. Achan goes on, causes 36 men to lose their life. Half-baked, half-in, 50-50. Man, I tell you what, if we could get everybody, man, I mean, Christians across this nation, Christians around the world, I mean, just get all in. Brother, I tell you what, we'd be something. The church would be something else. I'm going to tell you something. When the Lord comes back, it's going to be 100% then. When you're back with Jesus Christ, when he comes back riding on a white horse, you'll be 100%, 100%. But you know what? God gives you a choice now. You're going to be half-baked, half-in, half-out. You know, I've seen marriages half 50-50. I've seen women where they've stopped their husbands serving God. I've seen husbands stop their wives from serving God. Half 50-50. And you know what it ends up being? It ends up being a mess. God's not the author of confusion. My wife and I, when I got married, I said, I'm going to serve God. What are we going to do? She said, I'm going to serve God with you. We've made up our mind. We're going to serve God. We're going to raise our children for the Lord. She said, did you do a perfect job? No, we didn't. I wish we did a better job. But I'll tell you what, we tried. We wanted to keep on trying. I still want to try. I don't want to be half-baked. I don't want to be half-in. I want to be full. I mean, folks, God's looking for people to just make up their mind. They're going to put him first. When it says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, I mean, brother, you can do it. It can be done. It can cause a hardship on the nation of Israel, on a whole nation. 36 men died, the whole nation. You know what? It got to where Joshua, a man, a soldier. Achan was a soldier. Joshua was a soldier. Joshua was talking foolish. He said, would to God we stayed on the other side. He discouraged the preacher. He discouraged the commander. One man. Ephraim is half-baked. Leave him alone. He's turned to idols. Let's leave him alone. God have mercy. I'll tell you what, folks. I don't want to be a half-baked Christian. I hope you don't either. I hope Faith Baptist Church is not half-baked, where it comes to we just want to serve God only when it's convenient. I don't want to serve God only when it's convenient. I want to serve God when it's inconvenient. I'm telling you, folks, there's many times where I've had to preach messages and sermon. I preached yesterday, and first getting started, it was hard. But I know this. I know God was with me. I know people are going to hear the word of God, like Austin said. People are going to hear the word of God. Some people are going to get saved. Some people are going to believe. Some people are not going to believe. But they heard it. They're accountable now. They've heard it. Achan was just concerned about himself. How many Christians sitting in churches today, all they think about is themselves. How they can gain, what they can gain, how it's going to look on them. We had people come to this church just so they could get influence with other people, just so they can rub shoulders with somebody. I'll tell you, that's not the reason why you go to church. I tell people all the time, you don't choose the church of your choice. You choose the church of God's choice. Make sure that church is preaching the word of God. Make sure that church puts God in first in things. Now, I'm not saying we're perfect. No way. No way in this world are we perfect. But we ought to strive for it. I know this. I don't want to be a 50-50, do you? I don't want to be a 50-50. I don't want to say, well, when it's convenient, I'll serve God like King Agrippa. When it's convenient, more convenient time, I'll serve God. And I appreciate this church. You're here in a snowstorm somewhat. You're here. Well, and that's a blessing. But I tell you what, in your home, it's got to be not 50-50 when it comes to serving God. You got to put the Lord first in your home. Be careful what you're looking at. Be careful what you're listening to. All those things. Pray for your wife. Pray for your wife, because a wife can make, you know, I heard a preacher say one time, he said, if my wife quits, I quit. I thought, man, that's crazy. You should not put your wife out there like that, because if the devil will go after her, get her to quit. Well, I tell you what, it'll not be long, but you'll fall. We got a lot of people sitting at home today. Their wives don't want to serve God no more. Or their husband don't want to serve God no more. They just 50-50, half-baked, half-turned, like Ephraim. God help us. God help us. Don't be like that. Don't be 50-50. Be 100%. Strive for 100% for the Lord. There's a guy in the Bible named Samson. Samson came along, and boy, you know, Samson, man, take your Bible, look in Judges. Look in Judges chapter 14, Judges 14. This guy, Samson, came along. He was a judge. Guess what Samson was? He was half-baked. You say, well, man, I tell you what, Samson was the strongest man ever. You know, Greek mythology, they got a hold of that thing reading about Samson. They made up a guy named Hercules. Hercules in mythology, they made up. They got it from Samson. Samson was a man of strength. God gave it to him. He said, do you believe Samson looked like he was had muscles coming out of his face, out of his neck? Had muscles popping out everywhere. No, I think what was amazing about Samson, he was just like a regular man. A regular man. Maybe, probably had some arms on him, but I'll tell you what, he was just like a regular man. But Samson got to the place, he had a Nazarite vow on him. A Nazarite vow. It was in his hair. He couldn't cut his hair. And Samson got to the place where he despised that Nazarite vow. And here, the strength he had. And man, he played with sin like it was no tomorrow. He liked to play with sin. He messed with it. And he was a judge. Can you imagine? I mean, we got judges in America. God have mercy. That way they are. They just play with sin and they just do whatever feels good to them or whatever benefits them. You know what Samson did? He violated the law. He violated the law of God. Samson was a rebellious judge. Rebellious. I mean, God, his mom and daddy said, don't marry them women over there, son. Don't do that. He said, you need to marry of your own. And he said, oh, I don't like them women. I don't like the women in Israel. I want some other women. So he went outside of what the law taught the children of Israel. And he goes out being a judge. You know what Samson was? He was half-baked. He was unturned. He just made up his mind, I'm going to live the way I want to, and ain't nobody can do nothing about it. You know, Samson probably ended up dying when he was in his 40s, maybe 30s. End up dying. Suicide. And man, what a thing. Bible says he judged Israel for 20 years. Maybe he was in his early 40s. Samson got along, and man, just playing with sin, got hooked up with a woman named Bathsheba. And man, I'll tell you what, she brought him down. Sin never leaves you like it found you. Bathsheba. Delilah. Samson, Delilah. That somebody asked me when I named Samson, did you name your daughter Delilah? No. Ruth. But he played with it. He messed with it. He violated the law of God. I'm telling you, folks, Samson got on in the end of his life. Take your Bible, look in Judges chapter 14. Look at Judges 14. It says, in Judges 14, it says in verse 20, but Samson's wife was given to his companions, whom he had used as his friends. See that? He used. And then Samson tells him, he said, man, if you didn't plow my heifer, he said, you wouldn't have found out my riddle. And then going down, Samson gets mad. He ends up catching these foxes. That's a task in itself. You run around catching foxes, then set their tails on fire, tie them together, and then set them things and set the fields on fire. But Samson goes down to Gaza, look at verse 16, chapter 16. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in onto her. Samson goes down and he says, ain't nobody can tell me what to do. I mean, he had such strength, brother, he took on 1,000 men with a jawbone of ass, whipped them. He picked up the gates of a city. They were waiting to kill him. Every time he turned around, they were waiting to kill him. They wanted to kill him. Samson thought it was a game. It was a big game. I mean, he was a judge. I mean, he could have done some great things for Israel. He said, well, in his life, he killed more than in his in his death than he did in his life. But he picks up the gate that weighed about 2 tons and carried that thing for about a mile. You think about that. How old Samson go out here and pick up a bus? Pick up a bus and take it up to Smyrna on his back. What a strong man. What a man of strength. He goes on, and the Bible says he goes down to Gaza. You know what Gaza was? Philistines. That's where the Philistines, he goes down, man, and messes around with this harlot. I mean, he just was not going to obey God. His strength he had. God was with him. But because his vow to God. Samson goes down, look what the Bible says. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight, verse 3, and took the doors of the gates of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulder and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. I mean, boy, what impressive. Strength is impressive. But I'm going to tell you something. Strength in God and serving God is more impressive when you obey him. When you obey him. Samson ended up being half-baked. You say, how did he die? Oh, he died in victory and died in battle. No, he died as a blind man. Died as sport for the Philistines. When he could have died in victory, real victory. He was half-baked. Sin never leaves you like it found you. Always takes you further than you want to go. Ephraim has turned himself to idols. Leave him alone. Just get away from him. You know what? Your Bible tells us in the New Testament, if a brother or sister being a fornicator, don't fellowship with them. If they're messing around, doing stuff, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of people that got saved in this church. And, man, they got saved, but they've never grown. They're just half-baked. And some of them not even half-baked. They've never grown. So whose fault is that? Maybe some of it's ours. for not going to disciple them, going after them. I try to go after people, but they end up running from you. And you try to get them where they'll love God and serve the Lord, but they end up running. And you know what they always do? They always say, well, the girl that was here yesterday, her daughter got saved. And I said to her, she said, I used to come here with 9 years ago. Even before that, she's as a teenage girl. And I said, where are you going to church at now? She's got two little children. I said, where are you going to church at now? She said, oh, I can't find a church like Faith Baptist. I said, well, find something. Go somewhere. Or drive back down here. She said, it's a 3.5-hour drive. I said, well, find something. There's something out there. When did you ask God to show you? My Lord, man. You going to stay half-baked all your stinking adult life, Christian life? Samson goes on, defies God's law, does what he wants to do. How many people? I go into prisons. Whenever time I go into prison, there'd be 4 or 5 guys yell out, hey, Pastor Ryman. And I'll have them stand up. This is what I do. I say, stand up. You know me. You used to come to church. Got saved there. Stand up. And I always point them out. And I said, here's some guys that don't listen. Everybody started laughing. My Lord, brother, sisters. Tell you what. Samson ends up dying. Man, his hair gets cut. He reveals to Delilah what his strength. What a pity. What a shame. What a shame for people to die in their sin. Saved or lost? Loss is worse. He says Ephraim has turned to idols. Let him alone. Let me ask you something. When the Bible says that you're his child, and the Bible says we as his children, I know the New Testament, I realize this is the Old Testament. God dealt pretty harsh with the nation. But when it comes to the New Testament, God deals with individuals. And every decision you make makes a difference in your life. It makes a difference with your wife, your children, everything you do. So I would say, wouldn't you believe that if you prayed about decisions before you made one, that God would give you the right wisdom to make it? Wouldn't that be wise? Amen. You got Christians out doing stuff, living like hell, and they don't think about the consequences of anything. Got Christians planning on doing certain things, and even against the Lord. Against the word of God. Are you half-baked? Are you half in, half out? You start compromising with the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither things in the world. For all that's in the world is lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You know what those things will do? It'll cause you to be 50-50 or less. Christians, young couples, married, pray together. God, use us as a family. Use us as a husband and wife. When we have children, use our children. God, put the fear of God in them. Don't be a 50-50 Christian. I was telling somebody the other day, this coronavirus thing was a perfect storm for the 50-50s. It was a perfect storm. The 50-50s that were halfway in, halfway out, this was perfect. I don't have to go to church. They don't wear a mask. I might get corona, but you'll go to the mall. You'll go out to eat, sit with people across that came from wherever. Take your mask off. Waitress come by, people walk by. I mean, it's in the air. You're a 50-50. Perfect storm, coronavirus, to knock people completely out. Or use it as the perfect storm to get out. You know what Ephraim was? Ephraim had no fear of God. Ephraim just turned, do whatever he wanted. God says, leave him alone. He's half-baked. I wondered about, when I preach this message, I'm thinking, God, don't let me be like that. I don't want to be like that, Lord. I don't want you to judge me and my family. Because why? Ephraim, if you find it, you study it in your Bible, you follow that thing. It falls out on his children's children's children. That thing goes on, man. You don't want that. You said, well, you know what most people don't? They don't think about the future. They don't think about the consequences of the future. You better think about those things. You better pray about those things. Half-baked Christians, compromising with the world, aching in his heart, I'm just going to take care of me. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Samson, openly defying God's law. Then you got Jonah. Jonah comes along. God says, go to Nineveh. Preach the gospel. And Jonah runs. You all know the story. Jonah ends up running. Ends up going his own way. God had it. Yeah, what I get a kick out of reading the book of Jonah. It always comes down to saying, and God prepared for him. God prepared a fish. Now, Jonah wasn't going fishing. The fish was going manhunting. The Lord says, hey, whale, hey, I got a meal for you, but he's going to make you sick. He's going to be over here on the other side of the Mediterranean. I want you to go get him. Yes, sir, Lord. You know, all creation obeys God, except for man. God sends that whale. Jonah's out there. He says, here, Jonah, cocky, man. He's cocky. He says, well, this storm is because of me. Yeah, it's because of me. They said, really? What do we do? Well, just throw me overboard. Okay. Jonah, they really took me out of my word. Yeah. They threw him overboard. He's in the water, and it goes calm, and they go, oh, my Lord, God. He was right. They start worshiping, sacrificing. And Jonah goes, see, I told you. And all of a sudden, Jonah, they said, Jonah, look out. And said, what? Yeah. He made the whale sick. You know what? Christians that don't live for God make creation sick. Jonah gets spewed out. It was supposed to be a three-day journey to get to Nineveh. He made it in a day. That dude was, he was, man, running the Boston Marathon and the Tough Man, whatever. He was doing all of it, one shot. And I'm going to tell you something. The acids of that whale's belly was eating away at his skin. He probably had craters. You talking about something that no, any kind of cream could help. And he's running to Nineveh, and he starts preaching. And that sucker, take your Bible, look in Jonah. That sucker had the greatest revival the Bible ever recorded. If we had a kind of revival like Jonah had, man, Smyrna, Merrydale, Hartley, Dover, all around this area, everybody went in sackcloth and ashes and started praying, seeking God. He had one of the greatest revivals there was. And guess what the Bible says? Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. And it displeased Jonah exceedingly. Jonah was mad. Yeah, you know what? If I had that kind of revival, I'd be running into the aisles, man. I'd be shouting. I'd be hoarse, screaming, yelling. They said they were heathen. Yeah, we're a bunch of heathens anyway. Jonah has the greatest revival there ever was, and he's displeased. Why? He's half-baked. You know what it tells me? Shows me that God will use anybody. He'll use anybody. 50-50. 20, 80, whatever, he'll use you. Sometimes whether you want to or not, he'll use you. Jonah is displeased and angry. Look at the verse says, and he was very angry. Jonah, he was mad that God moved in the church, moved in the nation. We had a guy here, Mr. Hammer, got mad one time during our revival. We've seen people saved right and left. And he sang every night, except for Friday night. I had him get up, and I got a kick out of this guy. He couldn't sing a lick. Really couldn't. But I got a kick out of him. And I thought, you sing. So he gets mad, walks out, because the singing was over, the preaching started, and he stood at that back door. I could still see his face looking through that window. Mad. People were getting saved. Things were happening. He was mad because he didn't get to sing Friday night. We had so many singers that visited with us. I said, well, I got all these folks. I said, that's enough singing. Let's get to preaching. And got to preach. And he come to my house the next day with a three-page thing. He says, come out and sit in the car. I went out and sit in the car. He says, I just want to show you what's wrong with this church. And he starts showing me. I'm reading it. I'm going, whoa. Yeah, you're right, man. You're right, man. Yeah. I said, but my page, I got six pages. I made, you know, make fun of it. And he says, that you think it's funny, huh? He left the church over that. People were getting saved. God used him four nights out of five. Jonah's mad. Look what he says. And he prayed on the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was it not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled on the Tarshish, for I knew. You knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, of great kindness, and repenteth thee of evil. You idiot! You knew it! You're mad! Bible doesn't tell you what happened to Jonah. But I can probably tell you what happened to Jonah. Jonah was sitting somewhere under a tree somewhere, pouting, moping. Whole city gets saved. Whole town. Man, what a great revival. Everybody come by. Hey, Jonah, appreciate you preaching to us. Yeah, get out of here. I got saved at your revival, Jonah. Get out of here. I don't want to hear your mouth. Get out of here, bunch of heathen. I don't know. Jonah, thank you. Thank you, Jonah. Thank you for telling us. Thank you, Jonah. Half-baked. Unconcerned. Don't want to see God move. I knew you were going to do this. I knew it. Whew. Lord, have mercy. He says, Ephraim, turn to idols. Leave him alone. Half-baked sucker. My Lord. I hope you're not. I hope you're not. I hope you make up your mind that you're going to serve God 100%. Even if you don't, say, I'm going to strive for it. I'm going to strive to serve God. I don't want to be like Ephraim. Why? Because every 50-50 Christian I've ever seen ends up in a bad mess. I'm on people all the time. I see them. I say, get in church. I am, preacher. I am. Come on, man. Get in church. Get in your Bible. You read your Bible? Yeah, yeah. What are you reading? A word? One word a day? You know what? Then I get a call. You go, my Lord, it could have been different. It could have been a lot different. Amen. Oh, Jonah. God, I knew God was merciful. Wasted his life. Wasted the blessing. Could have enjoyed it. You know what? I've told my wife, I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to enjoy our way to heaven. We're going to have just have an enjoyment. We're going to have a good time. I'm going to have me a heaven on the way to heaven.
Yeah. Amen.
There's enough hell on this earth, brother. You face, I'm going to have me a good time serving God. I don't care where I go. I'm going to have me a good time.
Amen.
Whether people think you're crazy or what, I don't care. I just want to have me a good time. But I want to be in.
Yes.
I want to be in. You know what the most most depressing or the most miserable Christian there is a 50-50 Christian.
Yes, sir.
They're miserable. You're halfway in, you're just miserable, man. You can't get no satisfaction. You know, the old song, I ain't going to sing it. None. 50-50. God help us. Why don't you get all the way in? Stop playing games. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind. You got to get that thing renewed daily. People got their mind, just when they had this big, big jackpot on this, lottery thing. People, Christians, I guarantee Christians spent millions around this country, millions of dollars. If I only can get rich. If I only could get rich, things would be different. You can be rich in the Lord. You can be rich in peace, joy, comfort. You can be rich in all those things. And all it does is cost you just, I want to serve you, Lord. I want to put you first in my life. That's all you got to do. Amen. Father, thank you again for your mercy and grace. My father, Ephraim was an example, but a bad one. And I pray, God, that today that help us, Lord God, as a church, Faith Baptist Church, God, and as a preacher, as a family man, my family, my wife and I, and Lord, we're the only ones in the house now, but help us, Lord, even as we get older, make up our mind, we're going to put you first in our lives and serve.